Wow. God's gifts are amazing, aren't they? Love to see them on display. God is so good. He's just amazing, amazing God. This morning, I have just such a special blessing as we look at this. One of the hardest sermons for a preacher to preach, probably not so popular, but I'm going to preach it anyway. But something really cool happened this week, and I'd like to tell you about it. I'm going to ask Pastor Ron to come up and be just very careful with this. My wife is the daughter of a wonderful gentleman. My father-in-law is just incredible. Out of five kids, she's the only daughter. Here, right over here. No, let's not open it yet. Just careful with the case. One of the wonderful things is my wife and I got a chance 6 years ago to go to Germany. And we were in Cologne on the Rhine River. And there's her family is, I'd like to tell you about her family who's actually has some incredible history. We went to the Imhoff Chocolate Factory, which is very famous in Europe. And it's right on the Rhine River. And my wife is an Imhoff, and that's her family. And so this is her inheritance. And it goes back a long ways. Her family's been very influential. I'd like to tell you about that influence, her father. This week, I'd like to tell you that I got this thing here in this case that's handed down from generation to generation back to the late 15th century. When her, I don't know how many great-great-grandfathers being influential in Europe there, in Germany, the queen at the time, and I'm trying to get this all right, at the time was not the queen, it was Mary, Tudor of Scotland, presented and handed down, I'd like to tell you, that handed down this thing to her family over and over again, and being the only daughter of five children, I'd like to tell you that her... This is kind of really cool, Ron. This is something out of appreciation handed down to him out of what they did in the community, of course, being royalty and nobility. This is kind of our retirement, okay? This thing here was just out of appreciation, and this was handed down for a long, long time, and its value is at about $75,000, so it's quite the deal, and it's just a wonderful thing. So, Ron, if you can just, we're just going to put, you want to hand that to me? It broke.
Yeah.
It broke the bottom of the handle.
I didn't have it.
You broke it.
You really broke it. I didn't break it. You handed it to me. You went like this, and then you dropped it.
You've done it now. I'd like to tell you that her father handed this down. I'd like to tell you that the queen did this. I'd like to tell you that. That's what I said. But I can't because we bought this for a dollar. My daughter said, "Don't break that, Dad. It's an antique." I said, "Yeah, and there's about a million more that are being made in China every day." You see, Adam... standing there, and God says, "I'm going to hand you something very valuable. It's called creation." And he created the most incredible gift to mankind. He made that sun this morning. He said, "This is for you, brother." He made these incredible animals to walk upon the earth. And he said, "Every one of these animals are for you." He made the dew this morning and that frost that you scraped off your windshield. And he created the variety of life, the storm that hit Pennsylvania with 13 inches of snow, and not Michigan, because we're blessed. God in his infinite wisdom, painted a canopy last night over your head that if you looked into the sky, you saw millions of stars, each in their place, that will never, ever have to be worried about. And God named every single one of them. The other night, if you had the privilege, and I have several times, that in my home in South Dakota, my folks, when we go home for our Christmas time break, they live just about 6 miles from the North Pole, I think. It's in South Dakota. There's a phenomenon there, the Aurora Borealis, and it's one of the most incredible things. And the other night, some of you saw it, as the reflection off the glacier cap was able to reflect an incredible scene at night. My father gave that to Adam and said, "Here, I give you this gift." as he handed it to Adam, and then he gave him an incredible, oh, he said, you know, of all the things I've made, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make you a woman. Wow. In fact, when he woke up, that's all he could say. Of all the things he named, how did he come? I mean, there she is, made from the rib, right from his side, and he wakes up, and he didn't say, you know, dog, cat, chihuahua. He said, whoa, man. Whoa, man, woman. And he named her Eve. And I'm telling you, he did a great job with that. Amen, guys? He did a great job. And he handed it to him. As he handed it to him, he says, here, Adam, I'm giving you all of creation. I'm giving you life. I'm giving you the tree of the knowledge. I'm giving you the tree of life. I'm giving you the tree of citrus. I'm giving you all these. Just don't touch that tree, but I'm giving you everything. And Adam went, oh, no. And he went and he hid. And God shows up and he says, where are you? Shh. Where are you? Shh. And the woman's, we're over here. Shh. I know you read in the scripture, and some of you probably were looking at that today. I know my sarcasm, guys, in the church. You looked at that and it says, and Adam was in trouble because he listened to his wife. I know some of you guys are like, I'm highlighting that. You see, when you get in trouble, you cannot quote that, gentlemen. That is not right. Don't take it out of text. They were hiding. God shows up and he said, what's going on? And I love it. I love it. Adam said, everything's broken. And she did it. Well, nothing's changed in 6,000 years. She goes, God goes over and says, what have you done? And she's looking going, he did it. And points over to the devil. And God goes over and says, what have you done? And I love it. The devil made me do it. It wasn't my fault. And we've been living this way for 6,000 years. The hardest sermon to ever preach, because here it is. It's the most unpopular sermon. You know what everybody wants to hear? Everybody wants to hear how good you are. Everybody wants to know that, you know, you're not such a bad guy after all. I'm just going to go ahead and do this and leave as quickly as possible after the service. Here it is. You are not that good. As much as you think of yourself, you need to stop. Because here it is in the second part of this story. There's the creation. There's the fall. There's the rescue. We'll get to that in December. And then there's the reward, the fourth part of the story, and that's heaven. We'll talk about what heaven is in January. But in the second part today, as we kick this off, here it is. God made everything, and then there was the fall. They dropped it. They broke it. They broke it. The very gift that God gave them, the most precious thing of all. They broke creation. Thank you, Dad. And sin entered the world because they broke it. And because they broke it, you're broken. And maybe we don't understand this because we live in a world where everybody wants to preach these sermons. Oh, you're just fine. You know what? If you think good, you're good. If you do this, I want to let you know something. The Bible says there's no one righteous, not a single person. In fact, if you want to know, here we go. I know it's not popular, but here it is. You need to understand what sin is. Sin needs to be utterly sinful. You see, in the world today, we don't talk about sin being bad. We come up with all these excuses. Adam and Eve had their excuses. It wasn't my fault. She did it. All of a sudden, we're always the victim. We're just never the one that's going to be responsible. See, if I'm not responsible, I don't have to respond. And we don't see people responding at an altar. Why we don't cry out to God, fall on our face and cry out to a holy God saying, I am a sinner. I am broken. Everything broke. Death in the world. Sickness in the world. But we make excuses. I'm not that bad. In fact, it's not even my fault. I grew up in a home. My father abused me. My dad was an alcoholic, so I'm an alcoholic. His dad was abusive, so I'm abusive. Well, I grew up in the slums, in the ghetto. We didn't have a lot of money, so that's the way it is. I meet people that are just absolutely downright mean. It just blows my mind. They're just mean to people. And I talk to their friends. I said, why are they so mean? How do you put up with that? And here's what they say. That's just the way they are. And then I meet other people. Well, I'm not so bad. Compared to what? And we come up with excuses. Well, I'm not so bad compared to Adolf Hitler. No, you're not. But you're not so good compared to Mother Teresa. Who are you comparing yourself to? You better be careful when you get to heaven in judgment and who you're behind in line. I'll tell you what, I want some of these other guys, Gaddafi and Hitler and those guys in front of me, and after they get done going, okay, you, oh, just get in. I don't want to be behind Mother Teresa or Irina, the lady who in Germany had her legs and her arms broken, a young girl who did medical things in the slums and the ghettos and trained a dog to bark when the Nazis were around, and she smuggled over 2,000 children in the bottom of toolboxes. I don't want to be behind her. Maybe I want to be behind some of you guys. Oh, what did he mean by that? Is he saying that I think we need to understand it's broken. And because it's broken, we are born in sin. I think sometimes we look around and we think, I'm okay. Let me just share what somebody said in the year 1500. His name was John Wesley. John Wesley was about 5'1", and he walked around preaching, and a lot of people wanted to kill him. There were thugs all the time when he went to town trying to kill him, because when he would go to a town, people would just fall on their faces. I mean, brothel women, bartenders, drunkards, people just got saved. Bars were closing everywhere in Europe. Single-handedly, they say, Europe, alcoholism just disappeared in Europe because of this one man. In fact, a constable once was standing there in a And a guy rode into town and says, excuse me, sir, where might I find a pub to get some ale? And the guy said, John Wesley's been to town. The guy turned around on his horse and rode out. I mean, this is what was happening. People understood. And here's what John Wesley said. He said, how widely different is the fair picture of the human nature that men have drawn in all ages. Most men are writing about how good they are, and they want to somehow puff themselves up. He said, with all this going on, he says, what must we do, though, in the meantime with the Bible? For the Bible doesn't agree with the idea that you and I are good. The Scripture avers that by one man's disobedience, all were made sinners. That in Adam all died, spiritually died. Lost the life in the image of God, the fallen, sinful Adam. Then he begot a son in his own likeness. Nor was it possible that he should beget a son in any other way. You see, original sin entered in. Original sin, it originated in us. It's inside of us. And sometimes we want to act like it doesn't exist. We want to make excuses. And we have this thing called the great cover-up. Listen to what Wesley said. I was reading this week, and I said, Lord, I don't even know how to present this, so I'm just going to read it. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in a man, but wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. The same account is given by all the apostles, yea, the whole tenor of the oracles of God. For all of these we learn concerning man in his natural state, unassisted by the grace of God, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is evil, only evil, and continually evil, unassisted by God. You don't think it's true? He said, most men indeed talk about loving God, and perhaps they imagine that they do. This is what convicted me, because I think I love God. He said, most men indeed talk about loving God. Perhaps they do, or they imagine they do. At least few will acknowledge that they do not love him. But the fact is too plain to be denied. No man loves God by nature any more than he does a stone, a rock, or the dirt in the ground. In our natural state, we cannot conceive how anyone should delight in God. We take no pleasure in him at all. He is utterly tasteless to us. To love God, it is far above, out of our sight. We cannot do it. So Satan has stamped his image in our heart. Now, here's where it goes. I'm going to turn around and say it to the wall, so you don't think I'm talking to you, because this goes right to me this week, and I thought about this in my own life. So I'll preach to the wall. Satan has stamped his own image in our heart, the self-will. I will, he said, before he was cast out of heaven. I will sit upon the sides of the north. I will do my own pleasure, independently of my Creator. Every man born into the world says the same thing. Every man born into the world says the same thing. And that in 1,000 instances. They even avow it. They even swear by it. And they don't even blush without fear or shame. Ask a man, why did you do that? Ask a man, why did you do this? And the man will say, because I had it in my mind. It was my will. That's why I did it. Why did you do this? He answers, because I had it in my mind. What is this but? Because it's my will. That is, in effect, because the devil and I agree. Satan and I govern our own actions by one and the same principle. The will of God, meantime, is not in his thoughts. It is not considered in the least degree. He said, when we say it is my will, why did you do it? Because I wanted to do it. Then we agree with Satan, who said to God, I don't want you involved in my life in anything. You don't get my money. You don't get my time. You don't get my marriage. You don't get my life. I simply am going to do it myself. And to do so, he submits, is the image stamped within man's heart that got Satan in the trouble in the first place. It said, God, you will not govern my life. And that is how it all broke. Do you understand what sin is? And you know what we do? We hide. We hide from God. We find places where someone says, you're good. We find places for people to say, hey, compared to so-and-so, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm pretty good compared to. I mean, I don't do too many bad things. So to the rapist who raped your daughter, he only did it once. The rest of his life, he didn't do anything like that, but he only did it once. So he's a pretty good guy. So we'll let that guy go on into heaven. We'll let that guy come over for dinner. Compared to. Or the little boy that was in my youth group. The young man who grew up in a home, he was adopted because his real dad, when he was 2 years old, couldn't get him to stop crying because he was colicky. And so his real dad took a baseball bat and smashed his head in till he thought he was dead. And that young man grew up in my youth group, mentally retarded, because a father wasn't such a bad guy, just one night lost his temper. But the rest of his life is a pretty good guy. So he's really not that bad. I mean, out of 25,000 days on this earth that an average man has, there was only 4 or 5 days bad. But the other 24,995 days were pretty good. See, God says this. None of you are righteous. There's no one on earth. In fact, he says this. Your righteousness is like filthy rags. Adam, you broke everything. People are dying now. People are getting sick. You have to leave the garden. You can't even be in my presence. And I love this, the great cover-up. You know what the great cover-up is? The great cover-up is this, not looking at myself for who I really am. And they're hiding from God. If he can't see us, maybe he won't recognize that we're naked. If God can't see us, and we've been hiding from God, and we look for places to make us feel good. I know this doesn't make you feel good, but we're hiding from God. And the problem is we dress ourselves up, and we put on these wonderful garments, and people say, you're just fine. But you know what? Guess what? I'm not just fine. I've got one of the oldest, smelliest shirts that I own on. It's been sweaty and pitted out, and it stinks. It's not a good shirt. It's not a happy shirt. But you know what? We cover it up and say, here, let's put the fig leaves on. There we go. Nice shirt. Nice shirt. And nobody will know. And here it is. We've got to come to the place where we stop saying, God, I'm a good guy. And we need to come to the place in our natural state, apart from the grace of God, and go, I'm a sinner. I've got sin in my life. I was born in sin, and I was conceived in sin. It's called original sin. Everything within me is not good. In fact, left to myself, apart from God, I'm probably going to do some pretty horrible things. Look at the world without God and what we're doing. If we were good, we wouldn't be having any wars. We wouldn't be praying for our soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq. We wouldn't be praying at the altar for strokes. We wouldn't be talking about burying our children, because if we were pretty good, guess what? None of this would be real, because God would say, nothing's broken. But we got to realize, I'm a broken man, and stop the cover-up. When are the days when our country repents and turns to God and says, forget our country. We're waiting for our country. When is your household? When are you, men? Women, when are you just simply going to say, I'm broke. God gave me something beautiful. My dad broke it. I understand that. But I'm broken because of original sin. It is born within me. I have the origin of sin. It was given to me from the one man, Adam. All died. No, none righteous. God, here I am. All my filth, all my rags, all my holes, all my sin. When do we cry out to God in anguish and stop pretending I'm okay apart from the grace of God? We have a cover-up. I'll tell you, it's a major cover-up. See, I'm not worried about the world doing it. See, when I meet somebody, somebody comes through the judgment house, and I hear language of every kind, I don't stop and say, you know what, you just need to stop that language. I have a young man who's at the front door, and he just owns that thing, and he brings them in, and some of you met him because he screamed at you, and get up here now! If I hear you swear, I will kick you out of here. And I'm going, wow! I'm glad you're doing that. I don't think I could do that. I understand the world being the world. Jesus looked at the Christians, the Pharisees. He says, I know who your father is. And they're thinking, Abraham and Adam. He says, oh, no, your father's the devil. How'd you like somebody walk up to you this morning in church go, you know, I know who you are. Your father's Satan. Excuse me? They were pretty upset. Yeah, that's what you wonder why everybody was trying to kill Jesus. Yeah, he wasn't preaching the popular messages. And they said, excuse me? He says, if you would just get honest, you're such hypocrites. You put on all these vests and these robes, and you walk around like you're righteous, and you're whitewashed tombs, dead on the inside. Why? There's a word for you this morning. Hey, you bunch of broods of vipers, you whitewashed tombs, you empty bones. And he said, repent. What is he saying? He said, just realize what's on the inside. Stop the cover-up because there's a curse. And I love this. I love this. I hate this. He looks at Adam. He says, what did you do? And he does one of these numbers. Way to go, guys. Way to go. Step up to the plate. What did you do? Instead of going, Satan, don't you talk to my wife in this garden. You get away from her, I'm going to kick your butt. Get out of here. Can I say that? Okay, I just did. Sorry. Get out of here or we're going around. No, what does he do? What are you eating? Who are you talking to? Who's that guy? No. She eats the fruit and he says, or, you know, they get the fruit and it's like, here, you have some. Okay, I'll have some too. And then when it comes down to it, and God says, what did you do? And I love it. He doesn't step up and go, see, if we're not responsible for sin, I don't have to respond. And I love it. She did it. He goes to her, she's not responsible. She's not a sinner. She looks and she goes, the devil made me do it. So he goes over to the devil. He says, you are done. Of all the animals, you are cursed. You will crawl on the belly for the rest of your life. That's what you will do. And she... Then he turns to Adam. He says, now, let's deal with you, boy. And he goes to Adam. He says, you and I are going to have a talk. He said, because you have done this, you are going to be cursed. You will by the sweat of your brow and by your hands toil and never be satisfied. And gentlemen, that is our curse. Gentlemen, we work as hard to provide for our families, and your stress every day is your job, is your work, is providing. And you know how hard it is. Your mind wants to do it, but your body's not willing. And because of under that curse is yours. Apart from Christ, we'll get there. Ladies, he turns to Eve and says, now I've dealt with you. Adam Sandler going, I got to do what? He said, you know what? You had all this food. You had all this dominion. You had all these animals. You had all of this creation. You broke it. Get out. What do I got to do? And he walks out and he goes, back out here. What do I got to do? You better figure out how to hook up that thing right there you call a horse, and you better start plowing. And you'll find some days you won't even have a crop. You got to be kidding me. You broke it. How dare you? Goes over to the woman, she says, blame me. Oh, no, no, you're next, young lady, girlfriend. And he goes to the woman, and he says, curse, your cursing is this. You will now have pain in childbearing. Ladies, it's not just the pain of the dilation of delivering a baby. It's not just physical, it's spiritual. And ladies, I want you to know that curse goes into raising those children and how many times your heart has been broken by your children as you've tried with everything that's within you and the guilt that you feel. Did I do a good enough job? Am I doing this right? Ladies, the curse is not just bearing, but rearing those children. And you've had it ever since. So here it is. There's the curse. Guess what? Somebody broke it. It was so beautiful, so incredible. It was to be handed down generation to generation. And now, instead of being perfect, it's broken, and you have it. So you have we have the cover-up, and we have the curse. But hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Bring up that scripture where he curses the devil again. I'm so glad that God did this. Now, the serpent... Oh, no, no, we're going to go way down in the story, in the cursing near the end of the chapter. I'll let you get there. And he says to the serpent, cursed are you because you've done this above all the livestock. You will crawl on the belly and eat dust of the days. Look at this next part. This is a beautiful picture. This is the third chapter of Genesis. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. Have you ever read this like this before? And between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head and you will strike his foot. It's called the proto-evangelium. That's a big word. Cost me about $20,000 in college to learn that. Cheap college, I know. Proto-evangelium means proto, before, the prototype. Evangelium, which is the word we get evangelism, it means good news. He says to the serpent, I'm going to crush you, and between you and the woman, there's going to be a battle. You see, sin entered the world, and we're broken, and he says at the very beginning, I'm going to put enmity between you. You're going to strike him, but he's going to crush you. And you know who he's talking about? Absolutely, Jesus Christ. Doesn't that just give you goosebumps? At the very beginning, God did not leave us hopeless. Adam, I know you broke it, but I got some good news for you. I can fix it. I've got the super glue. His name is Jesus Christ. Devil, you're going to strike him, but oh, he's going to crush you. Let me say that again, because I'm not sure you're getting excited enough. Maybe you don't understand that your sin, what it causes, death, separation, eternity. I know we talked about that. Our brother shared that earlier, and he said, in eternity, we're going to be in that place in eternity somewhere, either in heaven or not in heaven. And he says, yeah, the devil, you're going to bruise his foot, but he is going to crush your head. Now, that's good news to me, because here it is. I understand that I am broken. I understand that I have sin. I understand no matter how much I covered up. I went home, from being gone this summer for a couple weeks. My wife came and she goes, oh, we had a leak in the bathroom. I said, what's going on? She says, we got to tear it apart. I think there's mold growing downstairs around the tile in the back behind the toilet in that area. And I thought, oh, getting back there. So I started tearing the baseboard apart. And sure enough, there's this black moldy stuff back there. So we grabbed the bleach and we threw the bleach on. She scrubbed it and it kind of went away. And then a week later, it grew back. And I said, bleach it again. She goes, I think you need to get in there and I think you need to tear out the drywall. I think you need to reset the drywall and you need to do this and this. I said, that's a lot of work. I said, bleach it again. She bleached it again. That was a month and a half ago. We're still bleaching it. And it keeps coming back because here it is. I don't care how many times you keep trying to bleach it. You have a sin nature within you. And until you deal with the root of the problem and absolutely go in there with the scoring knife of Christ and cut it out and rip it out and let God replace it with his Holy Spirit, it will always keep coming back. And Christ came in. I love this. Here's the proto-evangelium. And when Jesus said to his disciples, he says, I want to pray for you in John 14. And he raises his hands and he says probably that prayer that begins all the prayers as a rabbi would, Baruch Atah Adonai. And he begins to say, blessed be the Lord our God. And he turns, he says, Father, sanctify them. Wow. Sanctify them. And here it is. Let me send you home today with this. When he said sanctify them, what he said was katharizo is the Greek word that he spoke out. Katharizo. It's a beautiful term. It means to go in and pluck out by the roots. And God said, go in. Jesus said, Father, I pray that these disciples who know me, they're Christians, they're following me, they've repented of their actual sin, the act of sin, but their original sin is there. I mean, look at Peter. You jerks, how many times do I have to forgive you? 70 times 7. Oh, yeah, well, 70 nothing. A day. Oh, great. James and John. I mean, we love you, God. Okay, who's going to be the greatest? I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. Who's going to sit at the right hand of you in heaven? Selfish guys. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Let's have communion. And it says, most of his disciples left. So while they were Christians, they had that growing in them. And he said, Father, katharizo, sanctify them. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in. And when John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water for repentance, that's to cover up the sins that you've committed. But one who's coming after me, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, oh, I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. Here comes the fire. And that fire will go in and katharizo. And those men were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And out of the root, they were put into what's called a pre-Adamic state. Before Adam, pre-Adamic. Well, that means we're going to be perfect. Pastor, do you believe we can be perfect? I believe in Christian perfection. I believe in free will that, yes, God can take and what used to be. And you guys know this. Paul said this. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I keep doing. Every time I turn around and try to do righteousness, there's sin right there, Romans chapter 7. You guys know that? And he says, and every time I don't want to do sin, and there's this war going on in my mind, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of sin and death? The next verse says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to know something. You don't have to live in that place where you're warring in your mind. You're in a place as a new Christian, and you might be a Christian for 20 years. Can I tell you, you're probably still a baby Christian. You haven't grown up yet in Christ. If you're still warring with that sin nature, you've got to move in and grow up into that teen years and get into your adult stage of Christ and say, God, I am now asking that you baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Katharizo in my life. Take that root right out. I want to be in that place where Adam was, where it was supposed to be. Can I still sin? Yes, you can, because Adam did, and he was made perfect. He was still given a choice. Will you sin? Unfortunately, probably yes. But can you live in a place where your desire is to say, God, everything I have is yours. I'm going to walk in this place. Yes, it's called sanctification. And it's not a word that you hear a lot about. What you hear about is health, wealth, and prosperity. What you hear about is, I hope you feel good. I got a great video for you today. And when you all leave, if you're crying and you got goosebumps and those spiritual things on the back of your neck, God bless you. Thanks for coming to church. And I say to you, men and women everywhere, repent and call on the name of the Lord. Because when you really want to be cleansed and walk in the freedom that's in Christ, you will recognize what's on the inside and Christ will take care of what's on the outside. That's the freedom that Christ talks about. That's the peace in my mind when I sleep. I'm no longer under the curse, gentlemen, in my job, because it's not my job. It's my calling. Ladies, you are no longer under the curse because those children are a dedication gift to God. You are no longer under the curse to feel guilty. Those children have a free will in Christ. You are walking with the Lord. You see, the devil might strike your foot just a little bit, but through Christ, you can crush his head. I will not live in defeat. I will not live in sin. I will not live in enmity against God. I will make him my friend, and I will call on the name of the Lord and repent and ask him to fill me with his Holy Spirit and fire. Let's stand and pray together.